Tonight, when we look at God's meets our deepest needs again, as we continue on this, and where to get the power you need. Now, folks, we need power in our life. And too often, we use the wrong power in our life, or we seek a direction. Oh, let me put it this way. I'm looking for power of living. A lot of times I will focus on that in learning something in living. I will focus on the education I want it in my mind. I want to be able to grasp this and grasp that. Knowledge is wonderful. Knowledge without wisdom isn't worth anything. Knowledge without wisdom of the knowledge. There's a lot of folk out there that have a lot of knowledge and they can't get across the street. And they don't use the wisdom with that knowledge and they become dangerous. Now, here's a fact. God never promised you or me that life would be easy, right? Pain and sin are everywhere, especially in our own lives. How do we know so much about pain and sin? Because we are recipients of the pain, and we are partakers of the sin. Job 6:10, at least I can take comfort in this. Despite the pain, I have not denied the words of the Holy One. Job, in his battle with his friends, you know, could cheer him up. And, you know, that's all we need are more friends that do us like Job's friends did. Job, you ought to be ashamed of yourself and all of this stuff. So here, Job is making the statement, despite the pain, I have still not denied the words of the Holy One. Zechariah 4, second part of verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Meaning, how do you deal with life? You cannot deal with life through your knowledge or through your might or through your power. It is never your knowledge, your might, your power that will give you directions for raising children, give you directions in the path of life when you go to work, when you go to school, whatever you're doing. And God says, I am your power. The reason so many of us fall flat is because we try to do it with our own might. And so often we're doing that not out of trying to do something wrong or to go against God. We do that because we think that that's what God wants us to do. You know, God has blessed us with this or blessed us with that, so therefore we're going to use those blessings, and we don't ask God to bless it because we don't want to bother God. You know, we've worried him with so much stuff, and how many times I've heard that, and I just didn't want to bother God with the small things. If you don't take care of the small things, they develop in giant things. And those giant things, made up of a lot of small things, destroy lives, they destroy families, destroy careers, big time. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not just fancy talk. It is living by God's power. Now, the kingdom of God has already come. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is already here. What was he saying? As soon as you said yes to Jesus, you entered the kingdom of God, because Jesus, Holy Spirit, indwells us. So when I say yes to Jesus Christ, I am in his kingdom. The rest of me is going later, but I am in his kingdom already. He is in me. Does not the scripture let us know that the Holy Spirit happens to be our protection and our guarantor? Our guarantor of salvation, and we're heaven bound. Again, it goes back to once you have accepted and the Holy Spirit is in you, it's as though you were already there. It can never be taken away from you. What the Holy Spirit possesses is God possessing, Jesus possessing, because there's no difference in the three. So We're possessed by the Holy Spirit, and we are God's possession. Therefore, when a kid comes up maybe a point or two short of what they thought they were going to get or so, and then they beat themselves to death, and all these parents, listen, I chewed more parents out for being so strict on straight A's that you cannot imagine how many mamas I can tick off on that one. But it is an idea of God will use that for your benefit. If you cannot learn and focus on how you handle loss or how you handle discouragement, if you can, that's where the character is building. Character building has nothing to do with all my success or your success. Character building has to do with how many times I've fallen and get back up. I can only build character through what some people call failure. I have failed in many things, but I am not a failure. Because when I fail in certain things, I will get back up. You do that through God power. We are His property. He will show us how to bounce. You know, you can really bounce high too when you know Jesus is there to catch you. Okay. Another name for God, or using God, El Shaddai, I am your all-powerful God. There is nothing, and I'll bring this out Sunday, because it has really spoken to me this week. I am your all-powerful God. You hear me talk about all time. There's no two people ever alike. Never has been. But I want us to get a little deeper in that thought process tonight, because the Lord led me in a little bit deeper. Here's something I want you to think about. Not only is there not two human beings ever alike, do you realize that nothing in creation was created as a double? Total creation, a rock, a raindrop, not one raindrop will ever fall from heaven that's exactly the same size as one that has fallen already. How much water has remained on planet Earth since creation? That's correct. Thank you, John. There's the same amount of water. It's either turned into vapor, it's turned into rain, it's turned into... But that's a fact. And think of that. Can you imagine? You know, we talk about no snowflake is ever... But got to go deeper. Meaning since time began. Man, that's a lot of snow. That's a lot of sand, isn't it? Think of that. Nothing is duplicated. Because God makes everything perfect in His will the first time, including becoming a Christian, including His love. So therefore, if you and I understand this part, and we realize then our importance in the eyes of God is so strong because there will never, ever be anybody else like us. And God took time to create each one of us different for a particular reason. Why? You and I, somewhere along the line, are going to be somebody's miracle. You and I, somewhere along the line, God is going to use to be the answer to somebody's prayer. And we're the only ones that can do it that particular way. So if the Christians hide out and don't follow God's leadership, somebody's hurting, and the Christian has lost a blessing. What we do for folks? You do for folks, and you don't do it for thank you. You do for folks because you want to help people. You don't want to thanks. You want to help people. Where do we get that? We get it from God. God says, I'm sending you my only begotten Son. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to praise His name and recognize Him as being me. And when you accept Him, to follow the path he has set for you. Now, that's thanking God, but think of it this way. Meaning, if I do that and you do that, we receive the blessing. It's all done. Everything God has done was to bless us and to give us more strength, to give us more courage, to make a difference in the world. Our world is turned upside down, folks. All hell has come against the church, God's church. And so many are falling away. Psalm 68:35. Here's one. I thought you'd like it. It's in New Living Translation. God is awesome. You like that, don't you, Josh? There you go. All right. God is awesome. He gives power and strength to who? His people. Praise the Lord. Okay. People think, well, the enemy's coming after me. And you will have the enemy coming. You do have if you're a Christian. But think of this. God only gives power and strength to his people. So the others who are coming against you as a Christian and are coming against God's word, they're coming at you in their own human strength. They're coming at you with intellect. They're coming at you with all the human power that they can muster up. And God is saying to us, stand there. Because when they come, you are going to have my strength. Now, when God said, I'm going to have his strength, I want you to understand that that is his strength. Jesus said, everything you've seen me do, ever think of that. He's telling his own disciple, everything you've seen me do, not only can you do what you've seen me do, but you will be able to do even more. Now, think of Jesus telling us that. You can do more. And then he says, because I am sending the Comforter, my Holy Spirit, my guarantor, my guarantee for your life, my guarantee for your protection. Okay, so why don't we feel protected? Because we don't have the faith to accept it. Maybe we don't have the faith simply because we're afraid to trust God. Because we know in looking at our own life that we wouldn't stand up. I would not. Look at your life. Would you stand up for the very people that are getting ready to kill your son? Would you cry out to God, Father, give them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing? No. So that means that if I turn it over to God, then I am standing there by faith and faith only. And God says, well, do you really think you can win the battle, Larry? No, Lord, I can't. So why don't you shut up and let me show you what winning is all about. Now, Isaiah 40, verses 28 and 31. When can I count on God's power? Number one, when can I count on God's power? When I'm tired. Isaiah 40, 28, and 31. This is part in the Good News and the New Living Translation. Now, I will do that, as you've noticed several times, but I want you to get the point. The Lord is the everlasting God. Everlasting, does that not mean that these no ever ending with it? He never grows tired or weary. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. I'm so tired and I'm so weak. We say that all the time. You know, I'm just so depressed, I don't want to get up. I'm really so depressed, I don't want to go to bed. Well, where are we going to go eat? I don't know. I'm too depressed to go eat. And not only that, I don't want to have to decide as to where I'm going to go eat. Do you realize our conversations that we have? That's it. You hear that, don't you? At home, you hear it coming from your own mouth. Oh, gosh, folks, if the bottom ever falls out of this country, how will some folk even really survive? If the hard times really hit, Josh, and your iPhone goes dark.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah. I could see a big prayer meeting just for iPhones out there. Lord, those who trust the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. He gives power, listen, to to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. And so what this is, at the weakest moment, at the time you're ready to give up, that's when you look up and you see, at, you know, as the eagle is flying in your direction. As 2 Samuel 12, starting at 22 or whatever that was, when God looks down and sees you hurting so bad, and God decided, that's enough. And then the scripture says, and the sky fell. God was seen in the storm. And God cleaned house. And when he cleans house, it's clean. Okay, many of us in our younger days, you all will remember this, I think, believe that we should get out, get and achieve everything you can. Now that we have achieved, we're too tired to enjoy it. Woo! You know, that was a good thing. Just got too tired on it. Okay, when can I count on God's power? Number two, when I've got nothing to offer. And that's all the time. Did you ever think about how much your opinion's really worth? You know why you go to somebody else to get their opinion? Because you don't think your opinion's worth anything. That's why you go to them. You feel that you are in over your head. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. He, meaning God, said, my power shows up best in weak people. Now I am glad to boast about how weak I am. I am glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power. This is Paul. Instead of showing off my own power and abilities. Now remember, he was brilliant. That he was. And the thing, when he accepted Christ, Paul's brilliance for him was out the door. You got to remember, he was brilliant as a Pharisee. He knew it all. He really did. But none of it was worth anything. He found out when he met Christ. So it was gone. Now he was a living demonstration. He changed how he presented Christ, and the other Christians were presenting Christ at this time. He changed it all. Because of his brilliance, they were looking at him and they saw him throw it out the window, and he depended solely on the Holy Spirit. Number three, when can I count on God's power? When I'm in pain. That's physical pain, pain of loss, emotional pain, spiritual pain, or financial. When you're in pain, God comes down. That's Psalm 41:3. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and eases their pain. Folks, you will be blessed according to the faith that you have in what you have as to what you dedicate to God's service. Then he says, and that, I can never get this across, seemingly to so many Christians, the more that you will trust God with what little you have, the riches that you will receive are so bountiful. And I'm talking about, what good is the rich man to have all the money and nobody to help with it because of their lifestyle? What good is it to have anything in the world and you not have peace in your heart? And Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to give to you. He says, I'm not going to give to you anything that's going to hurt you or harm you. So therefore, you might not get the new truck that you think you wanted. But think of that, brother. Okay, Psalm 41:3, the Lord nurses them when they are sick and eases their pain. To ease the pain is one thing. You will never see God eliminate the pain. Why? Pain draws us closer to God. If there's no controversy within our life, are we going to pray? If we think we can handle everything and we're able to handle a lot of things, then you'll find yourself not even talking to God about it. And then we use the excuse or the statement, again, I'm not going to do it so God can go ahead and help somebody else. That's just a cheap cop-out. Okay, number four is, I see God's power when I'm tempted. Now, here's a bumper sticker. Lead me not into temptation. I'm perfectly capable of finding it on my own. Right? Okay, Romans 7:18. I often find that I have the will to do good, but not the power. I want to do what is right, but I don't. Paul cried that all the time. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Every temptation that has come your way is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your power to resist. At the time you are tempted, he will give you strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. And then he says later on, and he said in the Old Testament, God did, he says, when you see it, turn and run. When you know temptation's coming your way and you're going to be caught into it, what do? You run. Philippians 4:13, I have the strength to face all conditions but by the power that Christ gives me. That's today's English version. Okay, now, here's something I wanted to give you. I wanted to give you some action steps of what you and I can do to receive God's power. I listed the steps as ABC. Now, I can't tell you it's not as easy as ABC, but anyway. A is admit you're weak. People don't want to admit they're weak. People don't want to admit they're wrong. They want everybody else to be wrong and we be right. Yeah. Well, if they are, they are, right? When we pretend to be self-sufficient, and the key word is pretend, we short-circuit God's power for our lives. That's what I was talking about earlier. Proverbs 29:23. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. Be connected to the source of power. Staying connected is like trying to keep your concentration on things that don't interest you. I knew you all would like this one. Remember the word problems? What I call the entrance exam to hell. And listen to one of these word problems. I still hate these things. If Billy gets on a train traveling 100 miles per hour and has 1,027 apples, and he gives 5.5 apples to a stranger every 49 minutes, how many apples will he have left when he gets to Tommy's house 1,000 miles away? I'm thinking to myself, he's an idiot for not taking the plane, and what is he going to do with all those apples? I hated those things. And the teacher really expected you to figure it out. Okay, we need to get plugged in. John 15:5, Jesus said, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." Now, listen to this. Those who remain in me and I in them. Now, people will take this as saying that some people will not remain in Christ. Once you have been accepted, once you have accepted Christ, the guarantor, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is not saying, he is saying it this way, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me," which you will, because you're connected by Holy Spirit power. I'm already a Christian. You can't take that away from me. "And I in them will produce much fruit." And he's explaining it, because apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why he's saying, Christians, you will. Now, here's where we slip up as Christians. The Holy Spirit will remain in us, and we will remain through the power of the Holy Spirit. But our old nature wants to block out that voice because it's not the right pitch. It's not the pitch that we wanted to hear. So therefore, we block it out. And he reminds us, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." So don't try to block me out, what I'm trying to tell you, Larry, and lead you in. Because without me, you won't be able to do anything. It's not that Jesus was saying, "Okay, you're no longer a Christian. never there. Remember when Paul went in snorting and slobbering all over himself in, at Corinth? And I mean, he was like a tiger with his tail in a trap, squealing and all of this stuff. What was it? He said, you people are acting worse than non-believers, than the infidels. But do you know something? Not one time did he say, you aren't really Christians. He never did say that. He didn't say, he said, you Christians are acting like infidels. They were still Christians, and Paul recognized them of that. So he said, that's the problem with the world today. Why does an infidel, a non-believer, want to follow us to church if we're doing the same thing that they're doing out there, right? Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7, for the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with power. That's what I despise, to get around a bunch of sissy Christians afraid to make any kind of a move because they're afraid that it might be wrong. Well, a lot of times it's going to be wrong. But God had rather me take a step out there to in an attempt to take his word the right way rather than moaning and groaning that, oh, everything's just against me. Okay, this is C. Choose God's way with faith that God's power will show up. Okay. God said, I want you to do this. I am to be active to the point, knowing that my calling is to preach. I'm to stand in the pulpit, even though I'm afraid that I'm going to go blank. That's not my job to worry about what I say. I am to study, I am to seek, I am to find every word that is printed from God's holy word. I am to study continually to do that. But when God tells you to stand to speak, he doesn't say, Larry, I want you to stand up and I want you to speak and stick to your outline. He says, I want you to stand up and I will guide you. And then you, after you get through with the message, you think, I don't even remember studying what I just said. But that's the way God does it. Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Isaiah 40:31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. 1 Corinthians 2:5, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, big one here for us, but in the power of God. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Let me talk about wisdom just a second. Big difference between wisdom of men, which is the wisdom normally of intellect, and the wisdom of God. Big difference there. So you get around a lot of people and you know, gosh, they're well educated. They have the wisdom. They have intellectual wisdom. Use part of their intellect to learn intellectually, but that's not where the power is. The power is in the wisdom of God. Romans 8:17. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gives to his son, Christ, is ours too.